Montana Community Services District for March 28th. March 28th.
Did you turn your microphone off?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Call to order the March 28th meeting of the Oceana Community Service District. Roll call, please.
Director Burney.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Colwell.
Here.
Vice President Austin.
Here.
President White.
Here.
Flag salute. Could we all rise for the flag salute, please? Attention. Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we please consider the agenda review?
Madam President.
Thank you.
We have proposed to add an item to the agenda, and legal counsel will walk through the requirements of doing so.
Thank you very much, President White, members of the board. An item has come up after the time where the agenda was posted, that in the determination of your general manager in consultation with me does require immediate attention of your board. You do have the ability under the government code to add an item after the agenda was posted, and what that would require is a two-thirds vote of your board to add this item to the agenda. Upon a two-thirds vote of your board, you would add item 9C for consideration. That would be then considered as an ordinary item. If your staff report doesn't provide sufficient information, the general manager would be able to answer any questions as to why this does require your immediate attention.
Okay. So, just let me
make a motion.
Entertain a motion, please.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion that we add under business items 9C, add it to the agenda.
I'd second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you. Now we need to move on to approve the whole agenda, don't we?
Yep.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda for tonight.
Moved and seconded that we approve the agenda for tonight. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. We will now move on to closed session. If Councillor Minery would... public comment. I see nobody coming forward in the public comment.
Okay. Hearing no public comment, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A, the district will go to closed session on conference with legal counsel regarding Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria.
Thank you. Call the meeting back to order Wednesday 6:05. May I have a report from our counselor, please?
Yes. The report out of closed session is that there was no reportable action.
Thank you. Moving on to public comment on items not on the agenda. The public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishing to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Invite anybody who would like to come forward.
Good evening. 3 minutes, man, I'm a long-winded talker. I'll try.
Hey, thank you for having me here today. I wanted to talk about a new process called the abatement program that I've been working with San Luis Obispo County. I know that abandoned fifth wheels, RVs, cars, trailers, boats, vessels have been a huge issue here in Oceano. As I used to work this area, and that was one of my main tasks, was to tag these vehicles and get them out of here. Because they just park on the roadway, and anything on the roadway is subject to the vehicle code. So this area is our number one area of concern for abatement or abandoned vehicles. Los Osos is going to be number two. Being that the abatement process has kind of been on a standstill, I've been working hand-in-hand with the county, and we recently come to an agreement. We have approximately, this is not California Highway Patrol, but by the way, I'm Jordan Richards with California Highway Patrol, Public Information Officer out of the San Luis Obispo office. They have agreed to put forward approximately $7,000 in this program. And with this program, what will happen is California Highway Patrol get a call to an abandoned vehicle on the side of the road in Oceano. We'll arrive on scene and identify it as abandoned and not a healthy concern or a safety concern for the roadway. We'll put a tag on it. It's called a 422, CHP 422. 72 hours later, we'll come back. If it's still there and it has not moved, we'll call for an immediate tow truck. Tow truck will arrive on scene, remove it from the scene that day while we're there. It's different in the past, which has taken several weeks for that vehicle to leave. This is new, and it's a better process. So the tow company will hold on to that vehicle for approximately 15 days, so we make notification to the registered owner if there is one. After 15 days, the vehicle will be towed to A1 Salvage, which is in Paso Robles, and be salvaged. So we have $7,000, and if we use all of that, to my calculations, approximately for this year, could be approximately thirty to forty foot RVs or trailers. The vessels, boats, they're nothing, so we could probably get 2 to 3 vessels per RV. We are moving forward with this. This is already enacted. We started this last week. So you should, if there's any type of vehicles that you see out there, you're more than welcome to call 911, our dispatcher, and form a regular traffic complaint and say, hey, I've seen this RV. It's inhabited, and it needs to go, right? You've been there for 2 weeks. Essentially, that's what we're, and we'll go out, we'll tag it, and do that whole process. Any questions on that?
No, you said that would be on public, on the side of the road, not private property.
Private property is another issue, yeah. Yeah, so we're public land, public highway. Yeah. And there's a lot of that around here. And how we, sometimes we'll have to call out a sergeant, a supervisor to determine whether it's public or private. That tends to be an issue here in Oceano. Same thing with Los Osos. What we've come to look at is where the telephone poles are along the street. If they are on the, if the vehicle is on the house side of the telephone pole, then that tends to be their property. However, if it's on street side of the telephone pole where they connect one another, that's ours. It's generally a dirt shoulder, and so we'll take it from a dirt shoulder as long as it's on the street side of that telephone pole. So, any other questions regarding the abatement program? It's pretty significant.
So on private property, because you do see a lot of broken, completely abandoned, but they are on, like, in the backyards and things. So is that a case where you call the code enforcement? Will they do anything about that? Or?
They can, yes. And actually, they're going to initiate that. So through the county, they don't want to release the dates yet or talk too much about it, but I will express what they told me is there's going to be 2 cleanup days coming up.
Okay.
And that's going to be for the area of Oceano. First will be Napomo, and then Oceano will be next. And that will happen within the next 6 months. I'm not the governing body. I'm just trying to transfer the information that they gave me. But they were very adamant about, and they came out with 2 dates, but I just don't want to hold them to that.
Yeah.
But that's very exciting because that's going to give an opportunity, a free-for-all, to remove a lot of trash, and that includes RVs, trash, refrigerator, everything, all their trash.
Anything else? Any other questions? Yeah, sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good abatement program. Then I just wanted two other things real quick. I'm the person that teaches the AgeWell Drive Smart class. That's through Lucia Mar Unified School District. It's adult school. And I do every once a month on a Wednesday from 5:30 to about 8:30. I'm pushing. It's about 3 hours. But it's a class for mature drivers, so senior citizens, and I do this class for free. And I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I do that here in Oceano at the community center. Oh. And that's once a month. It is on the Lucia Mar adult website, and you can go on there and apply. So far, I've spoke to approximately 75 senior citizens, and I'm booked for the next 5 months.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, we actually that's had an wonderful. Issue on yeah. another PIO, public information officer, went on to KVEC and told him, hey, go online, and the next class is next week, and man, it caused an uproar because I was already full, and he just didn't know. We didn't know. It's very popular for this area, a wide, large following. And then furthermore, lastly, unless there's any questions regarding that program, that program is a mature driving program, and for the senior citizens, they're very successful at getting 10% off their insurance, and that's one of the most important reasons, probably why it's very popular, is 10% off their insurance, which is a pretty significant amount if they go to my class. I give them a certificate that day as long as they participate. If they don't participate, I give them a parking ticket. we have fun. It's a fun class. And then also last year, I wanted to make note, just in case you guys didn't notice, we gave approximately 450 toys to the Children's Resource Network, and I delivered Santa Claus out onto the Oceano School, where we delivered over 450 toys to the kids of the area. And then,
thank you.
And then finally, for the last couple of years, we do have a nonprofit organization with our California Highway Patrol Squad Club. And the Squad Club is a program where we try to keep the morale of the officers on a high level. More of like a suicide prevention thing for the officers, so that families can get together and meet the families and make more of an impact versus just showing up to work, do your job, and go home. And so our Squad Club is a nonprofit organization that actually gives money to the 1199 Foundation, other foundations. But for the last couple of years, we've been trying to get a fireworks stand in Oceano, which I know that you have four, and we're not trying to take away from the fourth. We already have an area on Hayashi Farms right there at SR1 and Halcyon. He's already agreed to let us be right by his fruit stand. But we have to get the permission to do that. And so we're agreed to give some of our profits, whatever is recommended, to the Boys and Girls Club in Oceano, if allowed to do it. And I think it would be a win-win situation for the Boys and Girls Club, our nonprofit organization, and the people of Oceano. Any questions for me?
Any questions?
No questions.
I would assume you have contacted the OCSD in regard to applying for the fireworks booth?
Yes. And we've applied, like I said, a couple times before, but I just wanted to make sure that we all know that we have a nonprofit organization.
Before.
Yes, yeah. I don't know what happened. It might have been a change of command, different commanders.
I know for years you were down at Hayashi.
That's correct. Yeah. Same thing, yeah. Same group. We just, I think the... Our new commander now was one of the officers that used to work in that booth, and he's like, hey, why don't we do this? And one of the old commanders was like, let's not sell fireworks. So,
and Madam President, when we start reviewing the preliminary budget next year, I will also include a discussion or a bullet point on this topic that the county is funding $7,000 for abatement. Since your board has solid waste powers, it would be within your authority to potentially set aside a little bit of money as well to help fund that program.
You read my mind.
Yeah.
Specifically yes. On that, and we've spoke, we would be able to keep that for just Oceano. That would be important. None of the Napomo toes would be coming from there, or Los Osos, or any of Cayucas, or the Templeton, because the Templeton office also has rights to the $7,000. It's basically who fills up the tow yards fast enough. And so
we're
in the midst of trying to do that.
Yeah. So
race is on.
It is.
Complication.
So you hire the local tow companies? Basically, so, like the ones in Oceano for Oceano, or generally speaking?
Generally speaking, every year we do an annual tow enrollment program. So we have a rotational program where all the other police departments follow suit.
Yeah.
I inspect every single tow truck and driver to make sure that they have no criminal records, and then they're allowed on a rotation. Mm-hmm. So I've made a separate rotation because these tow companies aren't getting any of that $7,000. It doesn't go to them. They basically are doing a tow for free for the city.
Okay.
And moving it up there. The people that get the money is A1 salvage. There is no money in the trailers, the vessels, the fifth wheels, the RVs. There's no money. They actually have to pay to get rid of it. And so that's why each one approximately is about $500 per RV.
Okay.
And it's per foot. And just to make it simple, it's, you know, if you just imagine a 30 to 40 foot RV, approximately it's going to cost about $500. And they'll measure it out linear foot. But I have a rotational tow when called. And this will be a program just with the California Highway Patrol. The Sheriff's Department doesn't do the tows. If it's a parking issue or an issue like this, you'll call 911. They'll dispatch the California Highway Patrol to take care of that. The Sheriff's Department don't tow vehicles.
Yeah. Super. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much for your time and listening to me.
One thing I was thinking, would it be okay if anybody from the audience had any questions?
Oh, definitely. We can talk about how to get out of a ticket.
Please. I can use that advice.
My contact information? I can give you.
About the class or whatever. I can hear your name.
Oh. Yeah, let me just give you my business card.
Meetings.
Well, Drive Smart through Lucy and Marty Dole School.
Okay. Age Smart?
Age Well, Drive Smart.
Okay.
It's a great class.
I'm not a senior
citizen. I'm just checking for a friend.
Well, the interesting thing about that class is we do talk about when it's time for the senior citizens to determine when it's time for them to stop driving. Versus having the kids tell them, you know, hey, mom and dad, I'll drive tonight. You know what I mean? So we talk about that versus me taking away their driver's license because I have the ability to do that when we stop them and they're reckless. Yeah. So that's something that we go over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
For your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on with public comment.
Hi, Cynthia Replogle with the Oceano Beach Community Association. First, I'd like to remind everyone that we're having a community meeting this Saturday at 2 p.m. at Planted. We're going to be setting our priorities on how we're going to go forward with making Oceano a more beautiful and livable place. So we hope everyone can attend that. Second, I was glad to see that the new Oceano CSD website has gone live. It's much more user-friendly now. It's still a bit confusing, though, because there's a separate tab for minutes and agendas, but the only thing under minutes for this year is something from January. So the more recent minutes are still incorporated in the agenda combined packet. So they're a little hard to find, and I would ask that you separate that out or at least put in a paragraph in there explaining where to find the minutes so people can do that more readily. Lastly, I was a little concerned to see a post on Nextdoor today that said Oceano Station Number 3 is closed today due to a lack of available firefighter staffing, which is worrisome because it sounds to me like lives and property might be at a greater risk due to a lack of coverage if there is a medical or fire emergency. So maybe you'll be discussing that later today.
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Yes. Anyone else? Okay, let's move on to special presentations and reports. Tony Maraschino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. 2 weeks ago was the 14th. I just want to give you an idea of how much Lopez went up. So on the 14th, it was 50.2% full. And as of today, it's currently 52.5. So it did go up quite a bit. 2 weeks ago, it was 24,791 acre feet. Now it's 25,922 acre feet. All right. Conducted daily rounds, weekly samples, 7 work orders, 10 USAs. We had 8 customer service calls. We had 2 after-hours call-outs. One was on 17th Street. The meter box actually kind of sank a little low. A vehicle might have drove on it, and it snapped the backside of the service. Basically had to, once it got repaired, raise it and we'll concrete it in. That's the drawback of not having, you know, sidewalks or something where the box can be secured. But we do secure them eventually. The second break, we'll be discussing that one later. That was between the island and Laguna Beach area. We conducted meter reads. After meter reads, we had re-reads, high consumption notifications. We're still doing trash pickup. Still installing meter changeouts. We installed a new service at 2150 Paso Robles. Right now, we're still continuing valve turning. And I currently have Casey up in Sacramento for the week doing a backflow certification test, so he'll be certified to test and repair backflows once he gets back Friday. As for rainfall, the Lopez website had it at 11.21 inches here today. That was off of Lopez Lake. Any questions?
Any questions?
Sure.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you, Tony.
Yes. Would you like to give a short summary of activities? We'll discuss the other issues later.
Sounds great. Good evening, Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief, Five Cities Fire. Just a quick update, new engine 3, it's about 80% outfitted. Got to have some final factory warranty work that's going to be handled by the local mechanic, and we'll have it in service very soon. So
for
it
Easter
looks beautiful.
Sunday?
It's going to sit in this station. It's in Arroyo Grande. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by and take a peek. But we're very close to having it in service.
What number is that one going to be?
3.
So you have 2 and 3 that look exactly alike?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the, we were able to get that discount by cloning basically the design of engine 2.
Yeah.
And that's,
yes.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to OCS, the general manager, Mr. Ogren.
Madam President, just a couple of items. Yes, the website did go live. And I will address or follow up on the minutes issue. Also, we noticed that if you try to do a Google search for Oceano Community Services District, you're not yet hitting our website. So we're going to follow up on that as well. Individuals, if they want to, there is a link to the old website, though. So in order to get to all the past minutes or other information that's still on the old website, at least for the meanwhile, you can link in through the archives button. Moving forward, we did advertise, and they are currently being advertised, the bids for our utility relocations associated with the county's airport drive replacement project. And those bids are due in our office next Thursday at 4 p.m. The significance of that is that it's the first project that the CSD has been out to bid on in a very, very long time. So there was a lot of work effort on my part, on legal counsel's part, as well as on district engineer Doug Grosshart's part, to really get together a good set of bidding documents. They end up being a couple hundred pages. I mean, there's a lot of details in there. So it was a good work effort. And right as our deadline was coming to get that all done and posted, I don't know if it was food poisoning that took me down or what it was, but I went down hard. And Carrie and Nicole really did a really good job of making sure that that bid package got fixed, finaled up and out and posted and everything. I was calling in from home, and I had limits of about three-minute conversations, and that was it. So definitely a lot of appreciation to both Carrie and Nicole on helping in the last-minute rush of getting that together. And that's my quick update for this meeting.
Thank you very much, and thanks to our staff. Moving on to Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. We'll go alphabetically, starting with Director Angelo.
I don't have anything. I'm sorry. I was ill last week.
You too, huh?
Yeah.
Director Brunet?
Nothing that I attended.
Vice President Austin? I've got this backwards. ABA. Sorry.
It's okay. Do you want me to do the advisory council?
I can do it. Well,
because I have white.
Feel free. Feel free. And here, I kept copies of this.
Okay. So I'll start out. I've been to a few meetings these last 2 weeks. So report on Zone 11A. And there was a discussion there. That was right prior to our big rains. So we discussed all the storm plans that the county had put in place and all the clean. They did a lot of cleaning the creeks and checking all the flap gates. And they worked on the Delta Street flap gate that had been kind of clogged up. And they did a little work on the road to make it for the water would flow better, to take some of the pressure off the water coming into the lagoon. So it goes straight to the creek, and then they're still, the sheriff was there, and they're still monitoring the creek bed for the homeless camps, and they're staying pretty well cleaned up right now. And then I attended the sanitation district, and we're still, actually we're going to start interviewing this next weekend for the district administrator. April 7th, we'll just start conducting interviews. We have a few candidates. And we've just been going over our policy and procedure manual updates. That's what we're doing there. And then Oceano Advisory Council met Monday. And we have set up a candidates forum for the supervisor candidates for the 4th District Supervisor, and that will be on May 10th, 6 p.m. here in this building. And the League of Women Voters will be doing the forum, and the Oceano Advisory Council is the host. So that's all been firmed up and will happen. We have a new secretary to do our minutes. Cynthia, how do you say it?
Replogo
is our secretary, and so she'll be helping us keep our minutes in order and post it on the website. Public Works, Mike Britton from Public Works came to say he's been getting a lot of calls from people that live on Paso Robles Street, and that's the street the county just resurfaced, and they would put the double yellow line down the street, and there's people complaining that now that it's new and with the line, it appears that they're driving too fast. So there's been complaints that some people would like to have the stripe taken off to slow the traffic down. So it's going to be on our agenda next month. And, we meet the fourth Monday of the month. And so if anybody knows anyone on Paso Robles Street that wants to give some input on what they think about the stripe, they want to know what everyone thinks about having that stripe taken out to slow down the traffic. That's about, we had the presentation from a gentleman that wants to do a trade. It's down on Pier Avenue. He wants to trade some property with the state from what used to be the trailer park. It's those little units.
Relocatables.
Pier?
Yeah. Here at the little trailer park.
Yeah.
They want to add some more units, and they own the property in the back. And the state owns property right on pier, so they want to do a. So they came to us and presented the plan, and then they still have to go to the state to see if they'd even be interested in doing the trade. Mm-hmm. And then it'll come back again once the state decides what they're going to do. And then last, this is not something from OCSD, but I am on the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, and I thought I would just, we had a meeting this last week. I usually don't report on it, but I just, there's going to be a fundraiser, the Cinco de Mayo, every year is over at Finn's restaurant. It's Tuesday, May 1st. So that's one of the major fundraisers for the Homeless Coalition. And I don't know if a lot of people don't really know what all they do, but that I know right now we have the warming center. So that's like the big, everybody knows that they provide this shelter for the homeless during inclement weather. But a lot of this assistance and things they do are to keep people in their homes and prevent homelessness. And some of the examples, like people come, they help with utilities or gas to go to work, bus, a lot of bus vouchers, auto repairs, clothing, just basic needs and emergency food. And a lot of it is like deposits to get into houses. So they really do a lot to keep people from becoming homeless, you know, the best you can. So it is a really good organization. A lot of dedicated people that are trying to, you know, to help the less fortunate. So if anybody would like to go to Finn's on May 1st, it's a great dinner and a worthwhile cause. And I guess that's it for me.
Mr. Caldwell?
I attended three different committee meetings. The first one that I want to highlight was the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors meeting. And they put on an excellent program. That was where they had to address the unwieldy issue of what to do with the Cayucas Fire Department. The Cayucas Fire Department is basically out of money. And to get right down to the bottom line, it was surprising to me. It was a 5-0 vote that passed to contribute over $900,000 to the Cayucas Fire Department once their fire district is dissolved. Chairman Pashong, who happens to live in Templeton, immediately noticed this discussion concerning Cayucas and the fact that the other board members wanted to support Cayucas, even though the county is not legally obligated. They felt a moral obligation to do so. And Pashong said, well, if it's good enough for Cayucas, I live in Templeton. And Templeton, as we many of us know, is also facing financial difficulties. And so the discussion dovetailed into soon we'll be looking at Templeton and helping them out most probably. Not to be outdone, our supervisor from the 4th District, Lynn Compton, says, well, what's good for Cayucas and what's good for Templeton is good for Oceano. And so it looks like the Board of Supervisors are taking this moral charge seriously and are willing to put money up to help the various fire departments. The Board of Supervisors so often has a 3-2 vote on so many things. And this was 5-0, and it was really encouraging to me. I also attended the Central Coast Blue meeting, and I won't spend a lot of time on that because Mr. Fine was here just a short while ago, and he gave us an update concerning the big project that they are undertaking. And finally, and again briefly, on March 15, I attended the LAFCO meeting. David Church, the administrator, put together an excellent program with a number of people, and it was really a well-done program. So that's it for me.
Thank you. Thank you. And I didn't really have anything, so we'll just, for now, we'll move on to public comment on special presentations. Anybody want to come forward? Nope. Well, we'll move on to the consent agenda. And do we have any changes on the consent agenda tonight? No changes? Okay.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda items as presented.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the consent agenda items, which I forgot to ask. And while it's on the... Wait a minute. It's been moved and seconded. And while it's still on the table, I need to ask for public comment. Yes, it's on the table, but we won't vote on it until somebody... See if anybody wants to come forward. Seeing nobody come forward now. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Aye. Carries 5-0. She's on it. Moving on to business items. Do we want to call for public comment again? I get confused on whether it should be before or after sometimes.
At your discretion.
Yeah, and I would recommend at this time that public comment on each of the business items be taken separately.
Okay. Then I can call for public comment on business item A, submittal of a resolution adopting a policy governing bid protests and other challenges to construction contracts. Seeing nobody come forward, Mr. Ogren.
Madam President, I'll keep my comments very brief. While developing the bid documents for our utility relocations on Air Park Drive, part of that process was scouring the county's bid documents, and incorporated into those bid documents is a bid protest procedure. In reviewing the county's bid protest procedure, then working with legal counsel in order to, you know, have the resolution put together and everything, essentially then it will provide guidance to staff, myself, on evaluating the if there is a bid protest. The significance of it is that the final determination then is delegated to the general manager. And one of the benefits is that because bids, low bids, public contract codes are pretty well prescriptive in terms of guiding us on what we're doing, it prevents politicizing of bid efforts and people running to your board members. If somebody who's filed a protest is not satisfied with the general manager's final determination, they can still file a claim and they can still take, you know, they still have other legal recourse that they can take. But it helps with both the efficiency of addressing bid protests. It helps keeps it at a very technical level because obviously I would have to work closely with legal counsel. And it's consistent with the county's approach on bid protests. And be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Sounds rather routine, actually.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought this was very well done and thorough. I saw it as really covering the basis of what we might anticipate if there are protests.
Mm-hmm. It's good, as you said, it's been quite a while since Oceana has
put out a project.
I'm glad that with this and then going forward, with obviously knowing that you know, water infrastructure stuff in the future, that you know, we get this taken care of now. So.
Plus the immediate future on the bridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, then I would make a motion that we adopt the pending policy concerning a resolution of these potential bid protests as submitted.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. We need a roll call vote on this measure, I believe, because it's a policy.
Yep.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Director Bonet?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Alston?
Yes.
President White?
Yes. Passes 5-0.
And then, Madam President, on 9B, because we'll be having a good discussion on the Five Cities Fire Authority budget, I'd recommend that public comment be taken after staff discussion and after preliminary board discussion.
Very good. Thank you.
Moving into the discussion on the Five Cities Fire Authority budget and their meeting of March 16th, 2018, I guess to initiate the discussion, or for Chief Lieberman is here for to participate in questions and answers to the extent that your board has some. And I think that, you know, at some point also providing him the opportunity to provide some comments will be important. I was not planning on getting into any of the details associated with what was presented at Five Cities Fire Authority, since that's, you know, that's primarily the discussion at the Fire Authority. But before I begin with my discussion, of course, President White, if you're interested in providing any lead-in comments, then...
Well, I can... The major discussion, of course, as it's been for a couple of months, is on the failure of the reserve program to be sustained and the need for additional firefighters. And presented to us were two budgets. One was a status quo budget, which is what we're living under now, and the other was a budget that adds firefighters as guided by the five-year strategic plan. And I considered both of them, and I finally, it was a general approval of the budgets, and I finally, mostly to drive the whole issue forward, I approved the five-year strategic plan budget that would have added firefighters, knowing, honestly, that Oceana would have a challenge in meeting that budget, but just to keep things going forward. And so with that in mind, then we've come back to consider how Oceano can remain a part of the Five Cities Fire Authority, which is our desire, at the same time funding the challenge of funding that we face. And so from that, how's that?
Okay. And as a point of clarification, my understanding is that the action was not approval of the budget for next year.
It was just
but it was the approval of the primary concept then for each of the representatives to go back to their governing boards and work with on how that might be accomplished.
That's right.
My other understanding of the action is that the Five Cities Fire Authority Board gave direction to start working on potential modifications or restructuring of the joint powers agreement between the three different agencies. And that second motion about potential JPA restructuring is important too, because both of those I will be covering in my discussion, both the budget implications as well as potential revisions to the JPA itself. And I did meet with Chief Lieberman and the two city managers today, and in general discussed some of the primary points of the concepts that I'm going to be covering with your board tonight. And with the goal being is that there is a number of issues on the table with respect to Five Cities Fire Authority, and we're quickly approaching a budget in 18-19, and the importance of making sure that a budget is adopted as well as a game plan established on how to work through the issues that the Fire Authority is facing. Also, as Director Colwell had mentioned, communities like Cayucas and Templeton, that the challenges that we're seeing right now at Five Cities Fire Authority and with, you know, Oceano and all the agencies really aren't unique to Five Cities Fire Authority. These are the types of challenges that we're seeing in a lot of different areas. We happen to be an unincorporated community, as is Cayucas and Templeton, but I just want to make sure that for those who are you know, happen to be listening and following your board's meetings, that in working with the cities of Aurora Grande and Grover Beach and Five Cities Fire Authority, the challenges that we're facing and trying to get our arms around, again, are common challenges in emergency response, the issues associated with reserve firefighters and the reliability of being able to get reserves hired and trained is something that is an industry-wide challenge right now. So how are we going to, you know, tackle that, have a budget approved for Five Cities Fire Authority next year, and address the various issues that need to be addressed? And so, again, I'm not going to get into the details of the budget, but there's a three-page handout that I want to start with. And the very cover page, and I think there's copies available for the public and everybody, illustrates what our current year budget is, and this is the OCSD Fire Fund budget, as well as addressing lighting costs, as well as the two proposals that President White and the FCFA board addressed earlier this month. And this is formatted where the very top, it shows what our estimated property tax revenues are, both in the current budget and then, of course, for the two scenarios, it's the same. Currently, the budget shows about $968,000 for property tax revenues, and that's our sole source of discretionary revenues. And then next year's budget, we're looking at $1,012,947. And that number, we were running some estimates, but that number Ms. Cassiola obtained directly from the auditor's office earlier today. So that's the source. Out of those property tax revenues, we have lighting fund costs, and those current year is about $53,000, and with an inflationary estimate of about 3%, then next year's budget would look at about $55,000. After taking lighting fund costs off of subtracting it from estimated property tax revenues, it then gives us our net property tax revenues. And so next year that would be about $957,000. With respect to the fire fund costs, the two different scenarios, proposed budget A, which is the middle column, would show Five Cities Fire Authority costs of about $987,000, and that's the strategic plan option that President White spoke to. And then underneath the status quo budget, it would be about $932,000. Now, both of these scenarios assume that we would not be paying Grover for dispatch anymore and that there would be a transition from Grover dispatch to the consolidated CAL FIRE dispatch. This assumes that that would occur on July 1st, and yet the actual implementation or the transition from Grover dispatch to Five Cities Fire dispatch may not be on July 1st. It may be January 1st. The idea is that that's got to be coordinated well with Grover as well as with CAL FIRE. The assumption here, though, is that we will not be paying Grover for dispatch services next year as we are doing this year for $30,650, and instead we'll be paying Five Cities Fire Authority, and that then Five Cities Fire Authority would be coordinating with Grover and CAL FIRE for the appropriate timing of the transition and dispatch services. One of the basic items then is that we need to notify Grover under our existing agreement that we will be terminating that dispatch agreement with them as of July 1st, that essentially, as long as they're continuing to do dispatch, then they'll get direct payment from Five Cities Fire, and then once the transition to CAL FIRE dispatch occurs, then Five Cities Fire would be paying CAL FIRE. And that's simply the cleanest way to do it, because make that cutoff right at the beginning of the fiscal year, and then rely on Five Cities Fire, Grover, and Cal Fire to coordinate the actual transition dates. And then, of course, we've got some district overhead and some district costs that are also incorporated into the budget. And from a bottom-line basis, then, under the strategic plan option, we would be looking at a $75,000 budget deficit for next year. And underneath the status quo budget, we would be looking at about a $20,000 budget deficit for next year. And as is the case with numbers always, we know that actual will not come in, right exactly as you budget. And so when I look at that $20,739,000 deficit under the status quo, I basically take the position that that's close enough, because as history will show, we'll probably end up getting a little bit more property tax revenues than what the auditor estimated, and our lighting fund costs will be a little bit less than what we estimate. So that status quo budget is pretty darn close to break even. The question then about moving to the strategic plan option, which everybody at Five Cities Fire has recognized is important, and what has been the goal of keeping everybody, all the agencies together, is on the next page. But first I want to do is jump to the third page, actually. And so that's the multi-year projections associated with status quo. And as I mentioned, in the first year, the deficit would be about $20,000. In 1920, it would be about $36,000, $28,034, $29,000. Those numbers are all relatively consistent. You want me to... Are you there, Director Angelo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because what we did is we assumed about a 3% increase in property taxes. The last several years it's been running higher. It's always difficult to predict. You know, is the real estate market going to stay strong? Is it going to flatten out? But again, under those status quo options, that's pretty darn close to a break-even situation. So it's on the second page, and really the goals that have been set is the strategic plan multi-year projections. Now, why has that been a general goal that everybody's been discussing? Well, in part because it will help to avoid station closures. And we know that the current year staffing levels and some of the challenges has resulted in the closure of Oceano Station a few times already. We also know that it's resulted in cutbacks in staffing at the Grover Station on numerous occasions. And so that status quo budget that we have in the current year has been proving challenging. And so the strategic plan options then are what are laid off out on the second page. And so with a projected budget deficit of $75,000 for next year, as the strategic plan is implemented over the five-year period, that budget deficit grows to $144,000, $162,000, $214,000, $223,000. And even more challenging for Oceano is the cumulative impact of those budget deficits. So the first year, again, that's $75,000. But when you add on the second year deficit, then the cumulative impact grows to $220,000. And by the end of the third year, it's almost $400,000. And by the end of the fifth year, it's over $800,000. And some of that, obviously, would be softened a little bit to the extent we get some additional property tax revenues or we have a little bit of savings in the lighting fund. But really, that's a path that Oceano cannot sustain. And so how are we going to work with the other two agencies in order to come up with a game plan for the future? Before I talk about a game plan, I want to see if there's any questions regarding those budget projections and those numbers at all.
This summary and facing over an $800,000 deficit only a few years from now is very sobering. I don't think as a board we could strap Oceano as a community with that deficit spending. In a perfect world, hopefully we'd have enough money to fund everything that Chief Lieberman would like for his excellent fire department and we just don't have the money for it. And I've had many people in the area tell me, well, Oceano's got all this money, and we're hiding it somewhere. And yet, the fact of the matter is, it's black and white and red all over. And it requires dire action. And I, you know, we all would love to see the Five Cities Fire Authority be a raving success, where the individual firefighters and the captains and the battalion chiefs and Chief Lieberman are just tickled pink to be working in the department and have all kinds of money for everything that they want. And unfortunately, it's just not very realistic. And I would echo what both the Chairman White and Pavo stated. One efficient way to address these budget issues is a reserve program. And I really see the reserve program as a win-win-win. And Chief Lieberman doesn't appreciate me for this, and I can understand that. But that awful fire just a few months ago up in Santa Rosa and around, the county of Sonoma has 10 volunteer fire departments in that one county. It costs them approximately, to run that department for a year, according to this press release, $65,000, not millions. $65,000 to run the Mountain Volunteer Fire Department for a year. It's truly amazing. And like Chief Lieberman pointed out to us when we were looking at the overtime budget recently, you know, it's nearly three times as much to have a fire captain or other people to cover the overtime shifts compared to a reserve person. In any event, you know, several weeks ago, we were at the California Special Districts function, and Unit Chief Scott Jalbert was there. And I asked him publicly, is there a place for reserve programs in the 21st century fire departments? And he said yes. And he said, in fact, if you look at it nationally, the vast majority of fire departments have a reserve or a volunteer aspect to them. And it's true. There are issues that to develop a good reserve program, but they're addressable, just like the other issues that we've got to solve. In any event, that's what I see.
We had a volunteer fire department, and everybody in town would respond when we had a problem. And then we move forward with, you know, needing equipment and things like that, and kind of put together our little small fire department. And then the Five Cities Fire Authority came about, and that picture was it would cover the whole Five Cities area. I mean, Pismo's got their own stuff, but it sounded feasible, and it sounded, you know, better for everybody in general, because you may have people that are out of town that would volunteer that couldn't get here, or different things that could happen. I'd like to be able to say that we could continue on with Five Cities Fire Authority. These numbers jump out there are pretty big. Unless we can get some other sort of funding available to Oceano to help pay for this, but I don't know where that's going to come from. Yeah, it's kind of sad, but I don't see it being feasible to go in debt that far in the next 5 years. Now, if we can figure out a way of finding some extra funding, you know, whether it's grants or tax increases, things like that, which most people are not going to vote for, because we're a small community anyway, then, you know, I'm not sure what we can do at this point. It's kind of up in the air.
So maybe that's the good lead-in to the game plan.
I was going to say.
And while I walk through what I discussed again in general with the city managers and got some feedback today, it will involve your board's consideration of a special tax election in November. I think in thinking in that context, it's very important that we all take the position that we're not trying to sell something to the community. It's a community decision, and our jobs first and foremost are to lay out the options for a well-informed community decision. In order to get there, we have to develop a game plan with our two neighboring agencies, because we're not going to have anything resolved between now and July 1st when Five Cities Fire Authority needs to have, you know, a new budget. And part of the game plan that I'm going to lay out does support 1 year of deficit spending for that strategic planning option, but only 1 year. Because, again, in fiscal year 18-19, that's the fiscal year, where the future of the Five Cities Fire Authority really needs to be determined. And so I have another handout, and I'll walk through this and then have a bunch of copies. And so what the flow chart provides is a left column that walks through a number of questions or issues, and then a right column that kind of gives an anecdotal comment on it. So the first thing that we show is, what are the Five Cities Fire Authority multi-year budget projections? And we just saw those. And what kind of cost increases is OCSD facing? And in order to implement the strategic plan as it's currently outlined, and we know that our ability to fund it just simply doesn't exist. We know that our neighboring agencies very much want to move forward, and all of the reasons of moving forward are important, while still recognizing that there could be a component for reserve programs. If Oceano at the end of the day is sort of on our own, then the reserve volunteer aspect is going to be, you know, even more important to address. But in addition to the Five Cities Fire Authority multi-year budget projections, we know that the cities have also been discussing the desire for some JPA amendments, or amendments in the Joint Powers Agreement. And so to what extent might those also increase costs to Oceano? I don't have answers on that. That was part of the discussion with the city managers. It was a very good discussion in terms of different approaches. A Rio Grande city manager expressed certain perspectives, and Grover Beach's city's manager addressed some other perspectives as well. So I thought that the discussion itself had a good diversity of points that were being made. And the point of emphasis that I provided to the city managers is that to the extent that they would be seeking JPA amendments, and that it might cost Oceano more money, that we needed to know that so that your board can consider that in setting a special tax vote. And we really would need to know that by around June 1st. So that the idea is, in order to call for a special tax vote in November, the basic election code says your board would have to take action at least 88 days in advance and inform the county election officer, Tommy Gong. My discussions with Mr. Gong is that he said, please don't push it, because he's got a lot of work to do. I indicated that my hope would be that we would have the hearing before June 30th with your board, and that would give the opportunity for your board to continue it into July, and to the extent that public comment might shape that. In terms of options for special tax, really then the next box, how much would that special tax need to be? And that would be really weighed by your board in June underneath this game plan, where you're looking at the numbers from the strategic plan that you just saw, what kind of fiscal impact might result if the cities got their way on everything. Not that, you know, it would be a negotiation process, so they couldn't make demands, but it would be the beginning of looking at how the JPA may be restructured. What would be the cost if Oceano were to go alone, you know, with its own fire department? And so that would, you know, require me to do some work on that, and in doing that work, I'll, you know, rely on some of the expertise of Chief Lieberman and some of the other fire chiefs who I have access to in order to come up with, you know, a basic game plan for Oceano, recognizing that that basic game plan for Oceano would probably not provide the same level of service as we could obtain through Five Cities Fire Authority. But those are the basic different scenarios that your board would need to evaluate and examine in June. And then use the judgment though only the five of you can make in terms of what might be the request of the community and what might be the basis for, you know, a community decision on funding. And then the next box is, well, what if the special tax does not pass? How would OCSD provide fire and emergency services? Would there be an option to contract back with Rio Grande and Grover if there's a transition from a three-agency fire authority to a two-agency fire authority? Could we contract back? Would we have to assume that the Oceano Station is closed in that example? Could we contract with the county and CAL FIRE? And Director Colwell spoke a little bit to that issue earlier. Would it mean resurrecting the old OCSD fire department? And Director Angelo spoke to that a little bit. So there's uncertainty as to what the future would bring. But really in fiscal year 18-19 then, this game plan says that is what we need to figure out. And it's going to result in a community decision, and we need to work with the community. So the final sort of legalistic looking scroll here on the front page poses the question, is a JPA restructuring agreement needed? And what I mean by a JPA restructuring agreement, and I've got bullet points on the back side of the sheet that I'll walk through, is that is an agreement with the two agencies on how we're going to approach next year. That if the OC, if your board is going to agree to deficit spending for 1 year in fiscal year 18-19 for the purpose of making sure that we've got a fundable budget and that Five Cities Fire Authority is moving forward, what do we need? And so the JPA restructuring agreement is the concept that I discussed again in big picture terms with the city managers and Chief Lieberman today, but especially important is, well, what are we going to do if the OCSD special tax does not pass? What if a restructured JPA is not agreed upon by all of the parties? Could we be transitioning into a contract for services? And should this JPA restructuring agreement be approved as a condition for your board to approve deficits funding in the 2018-19 budget? And of course, I kind of pose those questions as the lead to say, yeah, I think those are all important. So on the backside, concepts for a JPA restructuring agreement. First and foremost, it is based on direction from the March 2018 Five Cities Fire Authority board meeting. That the Five Cities Fire Authority board, and looking at all the details, has determined that they do want to increase the permanent fire fighters within Five Cities Fire Authority, and that they do want to look at the restructuring of the JPA. My second point says that this restructuring agreement, which really is, again, approving a game plan on how we're going to work in next fiscal year to address all the issues that we need to address with Five Cities Fire Authority. And my second bullet point says it needs to be approved by all three agencies by June 1st in order to avoid a 2018-19 budget impasse. And I think that's very important because, you know, if all three agencies dig in the trenches and, you know, decide that we're going to argue our points and not try to develop a collaborative approach to resolving the issues, we're going to find ourselves in a budget impasse. And collectively, the three agencies, we're going to find ourselves in a worsening situation. So we need to have a game plan. The recommendation for a restructuring agreement is that it would establish the strategic plan budget scenario for 2018, including a one-time only budget deficit, at least for OCSD. I'm not going to speak to the budgets of either Arroyo Grande and Grover. But as the multi-year budget projection showed, this district is not able to afford, you know, continuing budget deficits. Even a one-time budget deficit is going to have an effect, but I think that all things considered, that would be important in order to hopefully have all three agencies move forward together. The restructuring agreement would require each agency to negotiate in good faith a restructured JPA, so that A, lessons learned since the JPA was created in 2010 can be addressed. And we've already talked about some of those. And in fact, I think at least a couple years ago, your board conceptually approved some JPA amendments. In some ways, you can characterize those as the low-hanging fruit of the lessons learned since 2010. The not-so-low-hanging fruit is the next bullet, in the funding formula and the methodology. We've heard from the other agencies that they want to address the funding formulas and methodology, and currently that requires all three agencies to be unanimous on it, and your board can cross your arms and say we're not going to consider any changes in the funding formulas and the methodology. But again, is that really going to be a positive effort in trying to move forward with Five Cities Fire Authority? I do think that we need to be open to changes in the funding formula or methodology, but the extent to which those might change is really going to be the critical issue, because it's unknown what the cities might expect right now, but there has to be a balancing act. But again, I think it's important to put that on the table, and I know that the cities, and again, Five Cities Fire Authority, has identified that as an important issue that needs to be addressed. But the bottom line is, negotiated in good faith for a restructured JPA is to establish future certainty for Five Cities Fire Authority. Because right now, the uncertainty about the future only serves to compromise public safety, and it only serves to compromise public services. And fire, you know, emergency services, public health are all a high priority, not just for our agencies, but again, as Director Colwell had indicated at the county level. In addition, at the county level, in addition to approving the Cayucas item, the Board of Supervisors also approved establishing a Blue Ribbon Committee to try to address fire. So that effort would be going on concurrently with the efforts of Five Cities Fire Authority. But again, I can't reemphasize it enough that a restructure, you know, having an agreement to address how we might restructure the JPA is important to try to establish, to the best extent we can, future certainty for Five Cities Fire Authority. The agreement then would need to establish, the game plan would need to establish a deadline for each agency to adopt a restructured JPA. And that deadline, I put in there, deadline of a date to be determined, but somewhere between December 31st, 2018 and February 28th, 2019. It would have to occur after the special tax election, so that whether the special tax election passes or if it doesn't pass, then that is known, and all three agencies can look at those results to see what does that mean in terms of the future fate of fire service emergency services for the three communities. Because if our... in the possibility, and hopefully we don't find ourselves in there, but we have to be realistic that the existing three-agency agreement may not continue forever, especially if the cities want to go in one direction and especially if Oceano can't afford to go into that direction. And so what this JPA restructuring agreement would do is basically say that if we can't come to an agreement on how it's restructured, whether it's December 31st or February 28th, but we need to have a deadline, and if that doesn't happen, then June 30, 2019 is basically the end of the three-agency Five Cities Fire Authority. That then provides us time to figure out what is going to be the fate for Oceano. The next bullet says, well, one of those possibilities then would be also want each agency to negotiate in good faith a contract for services for Oceano. This is especially under a scenario where the special tax doesn't pass. It could also be under a scenario where the special tax does pass. But if we can't renew our agreement with the two cities on the future fate of Five Cities Fire Authority, it could become a two-agency department with Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, and the possibility exists then that we would contract for services from them. Essentially, the game plan says we need to have all these issues on the table. And we need to be realistic that we have some significant challenges. We need to be realistic that we need to have a Five Cities Fire Authority budget for next year. We know where the cities want to go, and part of this is then, you know, recognizing where they want to go, but also being realistic that when your board, obviously I'm encouraging your board that there will be a subsequent recommendation, but I think a special tax election at this point in time is something that your board can't avoid. But the judgment of how much you might put on the table for the community to approve is going to be an important decision in June. And then going back to the county's approval to take Cayucas in, it's important to recognize that Cayucas did approve a special tax election. And that, I think, weighed in on the Board of Supervisors. Cayucas had a second special tax election in order to increase that. That did not pass. But they did go to the table with the county with the special tax election that had already passed and was part of the funding now that is used to help, you know, the county fund the Cayucas Fire Department. So if your board is agreeable to this game plan, the next steps would be for me to author a letter to the two city managers and Chief Lieberman and to work with legal counsel on putting together a rough draft first pass at a JPA restructuring agreement. And again, it would establish a game plan for 2018-19. I can support a one-year funding of a budget deficit because the bigger concern is we just can't allow that to continue year after year. It might, you know, require somewhat of an advance repayment of the water fund loan from the general fund. But I think it's important in order to try to keep all agencies together for fiscal year 18-19. And this concept is, you know, really the best that we can come up with in order to have a game plan on how to address the various issues that need to be addressed. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
On the special tax, so if, say, we have the election in November, and what does that do? Would it cut to do the proposed budget? Would that be enough? I mean, is it just a short term? Or how long would that get us through the whole time?
That's right.
I don't understand how much that would do for us.
So, you know, at a minimum, we would want to make sure that special tax is sufficient to get us through the five-year strategic plan, the five-year scenario.
Right.
What we want to avoid, and this was a little bit of the pitfall of Cayucas, is that they had a special tax adopted, and then shortly thereafter they asked for another special tax.
Yeah, okay.
And so we really have to make sure that whatever your board approves is going to be good for the foreseeable future it's hard to look beyond 5 years. And even when I was discussing this with the Chief Lieberman and the city managers today, I think Arroyo Grande's finance officer, Debbie Malicote, says, well, you're never guaranteed, and that's true. But again, we need to make sure that we can cover the foreseeable future. So when we see the larger budget deficits in years 3, 4, and 5, where we're talking a couple hundred thousand dollars, as I start running calculations to bring to your board in June, I'm going to be looking at those out years a little bit more. One of the things that's important is that in a special tax, it provides the maximum that your board is authorized to levy. So in the first couple years, if as the strategic plan is being implemented, you don't have to levy the maximum in the first couple years. The other issue that I'll bring to your board subsequently as we get into that those kind of discussions in greater detail is a comparison to what some of the other communities have done. So, for example, Los Osos, that has a significant special tax that helps fund their fire department, and they contract for services. The formula is based on type of land use. So a mobile home pays different than a single-family residence, pays different than a vacant piece of land. And the concept behind their formula, which I think has a lot of validity, is that the different types of land use create different risks for fire or the need for emergency services. In Cambria, my understanding is that they're going to be holding a special tax election and the June ballot, and they're doing it on a per parcel basis, so it's sort of an equal amount per parcel. I haven't followed up to see whether they were going to reduce the per parcel amount for undeveloped properties, but in any case, they're taking more of a per parcel equal versus Los Osos is an example where it varies based on land use. The option about varying on land use has a bit more of an equity involved in it, but there's a lot more detail. So I've reached out to the county, and Caleb Mopp, who works for Supervisor Compton, got me in contact with some of the IT people at the county who run with the geographical information systems and the databases so that we can start working with the county's information on the different land use. Celia has already been doing evaluations out of our water records of the different land uses, so we'll be able to match up those two databases and work with those in order to do some of the technical analysis. But again, whether it's on a per parcel basis or if it varies based on land use, that's something that I'll be bringing to your board for consideration at subsequent meetings.
Well, if you base it on the type of property, like commercial versus residential, the commercial will be paying a much higher portion usually. What's happening to me in Grover.
Oh, well, and I haven't run any conclusions on how that, a lot of times commercial is based on square footage, so it could also depend on what type of a commercial operation it is. We desperately need a small coffee shop in Oceano, but, small coffee shops might run far less than a single-family residence. So, again, I'll bring that formula back, and we'll start looking at that at subsequent meetings. When you're bored, at appropriate time, input from Chief Lieberman would...
Yeah, we'll just wait to see if there's any more questions along here. Andrew?
I think the only thing that I would have is just to summarize the approach real quick for what's immediately ahead. I really appreciate kind of the concept, the draft concept going forward for the potential JPA restructuring and kind of how we would enter in and move forward with the other agencies in those discussions. And I think with what the board had talked about earlier as well as what you'd said, I mean, it is a challenge that the community has as a whole to discuss and to see, what do we want? And it really is. It's a what do we want going forward for our emergency services. And so the June time frame in looking at both considering something like a special tax, we'd also be looking at all the other proposals as well to kind of lay out on the table? Are we going to have some information regarding, you know, what would it look like for Oceano to go, our own fire department? What would it look like to go with the county? Are we going to be able to see all of those or no?
I think here's what I would anticipate you would be able to see and what I don't anticipate what you would be able to see. You'd be able to, you know, the multi-year budget projections, as the Five Cities Fire Authority Board has already endorsed, we have those. I am hopeful that the cities would provide us some indication of how they would want to see changes in the funding formula, so we could take the multi-year budget projections, modify them for cities' desired changes in methodology on funding, and see what kind of impact that would have to us. At that point in time, that would be sort of a snapshot of what they would want to negotiate as changes in the JPA. But the negotiations will, there's no way those negotiations can be concluded. That would be your borough's first preview. And that's going to be a bit of a challenge because then, you know, you have to impart your own judgment as to whether or not their request might be good or whether maybe it's too much. But it will provide a sense of moving forward in the negotiations. With respect to what it might cost and how much special taxes might be necessary if Oceano CSD was, if the fire department was resurrected for OCSD, yes, I need to provide some of those scenarios as well. And that, of course, you know, I'm not a fire chief, so that gets me a little bit nervous, and I got to, you know, rely on Chief Lieberman and some of the other fire officials to bounce ideas off. But I think what you have to anticipate in that is that that would be a level of service that would not be equal to the level of service that Five Cities Fire Authority could provide. And then lastly, with respect to a service contract for services with Cal Fire or the county, I would not anticipate that we would have numbers there. We can look at the Cayucas example and what they've put together in that particular example. But with the counties moving forward on this Blue Ribbon Committee, I just don't see us getting any real commitments from the county prior to the Blue Ribbon Committee meeting and going through a bunch of details and that kind of stuff. So, yes, we have numbers from Five Cities Fire Authority to work with on multi-year projections. I'm hopeful that the cities will give us an indication of how they would want to see some modifications to the JPA funding formula. I'll definitely need to put together at least some rough numbers on scenarios for Oceano on its own. And no, I would not expect any firm numbers from Cal Fire or county.
Okay, excellent. And the only reason why I was asking is just for it to be clear and for those that will be maybe watching or reading minutes or anything, that it's a hard decision that we're coming up against soon, and nobody wants to look at or even hear tax increases. But that we're, you know, administratively doing everything we can as well as on our board to look at, like you said before, presenting the options as best we can at the time so that people can make their best, you know, choices and decisions going forward.
And I think that's the key, Director Brunet, is the best information that we have at that time. And I do think that the information will be sufficiently good for rational people to look at and see what their options are. And the challenge in these kind of events is always the idea that somebody really wants to know a level of precision that's, you know, simply not possible. But I think in terms of the big picture, yeah, the balance between levels of service and what the community may be willing to pay ends up translating to a community decision, the voters' decision.
Do we know what Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach would like in their potential restructuring agreement? I mean, is it the funding formula that's primarily driving it? What is it?
Well, so it gets back to the issue of there are low-hanging fruit, you know, and then there's the big issues. So the big issue is the funding formula and staffing levels. The idea that for Oceano, the Oceano station isn't staffed at the same level as either Arroyo Grande or Grover. And yet, the Rio Grande and Grover stations will respond to calls in Oceano, just like Oceano station will respond to calls in Grover and Rio Grande, but we don't have the same level of staffing. And so there's a little inherent disparity there. So with respect, you know, it's costs are always driven based on the service levels. So certainly discussions have focused in on service levels. And then when we turn to, you know, the question of costs and allocations, there is an expressed desire on the part of the cities to look at the funding formula, that they don't consider it to be entirely fair. But there has to be a balancing act there, because if Oceano's costs are pushed too high, then the likelihood of our voters supporting it is going to go down. That's why, again, I was encouraging the city managers, and why they encourage in the correspondence, if your board supports this approach, we'll really ask the cities to be clear on what their hopes are. And like any negotiation, we don't always get everything we hope for, but at least that's a starting point.
Well, yeah, I'm not an expert on fire authorities either, but as I read through the JPA, the four different aspects making up the funding formula, somebody put a lot of time and thought into those principles. It's just not a given that it's errant.
That is true. It's not a given that it's errant. And so there was some discussion today about a bottom line approach versus we really need to look at the methodologies. And I think what you're really pointing to is the methodologies on those four different components, and are they fair, are they not fair, how might those be adjusted. But to me, the JPA was adopted in 2010, and after, you know, 7-8 years of its operation, it's not surprising that we both identified issues that need to be cleaned up, and it's not surprising that the agencies are saying, well, we really think it needs to be modified so it works better. The idea of renegotiating the JPA after 7 or 8 years is just doesn't shock the conscience. And the hope is that we can all find balance in moving forward. But we just have to do that the best as we can under a good faith approach. And that's, you know, the concept that we've laid out in this game plan.
And of course, another serious consideration is that, and it needs to be recognized by all three agencies, that the cities have the ability to raise taxes that we don't have. As an unincorporated portion of the county, we're basically stuck with our share of the property tax. And virtually every dollar of that is going to the fire authority now.
Yeah. It's true that the cities do have more discretionary revenues like sales tax and hotel taxes, you know, bed, transportation occupancy, TOT is what they're called. But they even have to go back and get voter approval in order to increase their bed taxes. Now, in some respects, that's almost an easier call. Because if you ask for your voters, should the tourists have to pay a little bit higher when they, you know, rent a room? Well, a lot of times the local voters will go, yeah, those, you know, tourists need to pay for their fair share. So in some respects, they have an easier request of their voters than we do. But in other respects, they have bigger challenges because they have law enforcement. They've got police departments. They have a broader range of services than what we have to. So they have more types of discretionary revenues, and they have more options in front of them, but they also have more services that they're providing.
Sure.
Anything else?
I have a thought here.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we could assuming we're going to try to go ahead with the deficit of the 20,000, possibly?
The scenario that I'm recommending, if we can come to an agreement by June 1st with the two cities on this JPA restructuring agreement and the game plan, then my recommendation would be to support the strategic plan option, which is the $75,000 budget deficit for next year. Yeah. And in part, I think that would be a significant sign of good faith on the part of your board of wanting to work with the cities and move forward.
Okay. Is there any will of maybe freezing any raises or other identifying things that you could that you can use in the fire department overall, all the communities involved, where let's freeze your wages, we're not going to increase them for this next year, if something like that, so we don't have that next unexpected what's coming after the next year type thing. Maybe a freeze within that year or so to try to get everybody on their feet.
Try to keep the budget as tight as possible. You know, Chief Lieberman can speak to it. I'm not sure the status of the memorandum of understanding.
That's why I'm kind of guessing at it.
With the union, but you know, if we're in the middle of a union contract, then the Five Cities Fire Authority is compelled to abide by that union contract.
That's kind of what I'm trying to find out, if there's any leverage there.
Yeah, I think that the other thing that Chief Lieberman has clearly had to do most recently in terms of cost-cutting measures is simply not backfill when people are out sick or on vacation. And that's the hard reality of why, you know, the Oceano Station has been closed recently. It's the hard reality of why the Grover Station has been cut back in staffing on several occasions lately. So that's really the most, you know, the best tool that Chief Lieberman has right now in order to save on some money. And the problem with that is that it's closing stations or reducing staffing, and it increases risks for public safety and you know, increases risks of slower response times. And
I have a kind of a different angle at that. I hear the calls all the time, and I mean, they're going to the same places over and over and over again, sometimes multiple times in a day. This last couple of days, there's been several of them going down to a little place on Highway 1 there, the trailer park. Same space several times. And I feel like, you know, how much do they have to put up with this if the people that are calling on it get you there and then they don't want their services? And it's frustrating for me because we are struggling trying to help people in general. You know, I've got family members that the fire department's had to come and help, you know, and I'm appreciative of it. But it's not on a daily basis, a weekly basis. It's not the same repeat customers over and over and over. And that does bother me. It's like, is there some other entity that could work with these people that have got problems and get them kind of straightened out or help them with something else? Is there another volunteer group? Is there somebody else that, rather than calling out the fire department, you may have a real fire going on when you have somebody that, you know, needs assistance or calls you out and then decides they don't want you there. And that's kind of becoming more and more predominant out here from what I can see. It's frustrating because I know these guys have the best intentions of every call that goes out. And it's kind of tough when they go out there and then it's like, well, I don't want your help because somebody else called or something. And it just seems like we're getting more and more calls like that. We want your assistance, but we don't really want your assistance. It may be an argument because somebody doesn't want to help somebody else out. And it's kind of getting ridiculous, honestly.
Well, and Director Angelo, I think you're hitting on a point that is coming up in a lot of different conversations. And one way that I hear it is that, you know, the ambulance providers are going out there, and the fire crews are going out, the emergency crews are going out there. Now, Five Cities Fire Authority, one way or another, is being paid for by taxpayers. And when it comes to the ambulance services, and I do not know the details there, but certainly some of that is covered by insurance. And so when we look at providing emergency services, especially the emergency medical services, on, you know, from 30,000 feet up in the air, it does create the question of how much should taxpayers be paying versus how much should be paid through insurance rates. And the more that taxpayers are paying, the less that we have available for other essential public services, and how much of this should shift to insurance providers. Well, that's a huge question, right? That's a huge systematic issue. I'm hoping that that's part of the discussions at the Blue Ribbon Committee at the county, because it's such a big issue that it's really something that if it's going to be addressed locally, it's got to be addressed by the county. Versus at Five Cities Fire Authority, we need to maintain the focus of, you know, providing the service when we get the calls.
Right.
One of the things that we do know that Chief Lieberman has done is he's addressed some of the inequities about doing the first response both to the beach as well as to some of the other unincorporated areas where we really weren't getting reciprocal from the county, where we were providing primary coverage for certain areas that were outside the boundaries of the three agencies. So I do believe that Chief Lieberman has tried to address some of those systematic issues to the best ability, and I'm hopeful that the county's Blue Ribbon Committee
just, it seems like pick up the ball. There should be a way of, you know, I don't know how you're going to do it, but, you know, instead of running an ambulance and a fire truck out there for someone who's either intoxicated and falling down and hurt himself or, you know, just fell over, but then they don't want the help. And it's kind of like where they tie up the time. Somebody else might be having a heart attack. Things like that, it really kind of bugs me. Because you hear it a lot, and it's not that I don't have empathy for people, because I do, because I help people out all the time, but it's one of those things that it's like, do you really need to have a fire department and an ambulance coming if you're not really needing one? Instead, call your family or call a close friend and say, hey, maybe I need to go to the hospital, you know, or can you come help me get up? And it's frustrating. And I know the guys get frustrated with it too. You know, they go out there and they go, we were just here 2 hours ago. And it's you know, that's part of the problem too, is people don't take responsibility. And so then it falls back on the fire department and the ambulance people. And, you know, they come, they want to help, and then people don't want the help. And it's like, well, then don't call us.
And for the individuals who are responding to the calls, the challenge is they're responding. They don't know. Are they going for that repetitive thing that really maybe the convalescent home should be taking care of themselves?
Yes.
Or are they responding to somebody who's in a critical life-saving situation?
Right.
And we know that we've had situations where one of the individuals with Five Cities Fire is driving the ambulance to the hospital.
Right.
So that the two ambulance workers are working on the patient in the back.
Yeah.
You know, so when it comes down to it,
everybody's in trouble as far as having enough people.
Yes. That also leads, why is it better that we're part of Five Cities Fire Authority than going it alone? Is because that's secondary call. That's usually, you're out there on that first recall call, and then you get the second call.
Yeah.
And if we're part of Five Cities Fire Authority, there's three stations, and you've got that immediate second call coverage. If we're not part of Five Cities Fire Authority, then our individuals have much less ability to respond to the second call in a timely manner. So these are part of the service level discussions that, you know, I hope is not lost on individuals as we, you know, as they're making the community decision.
I think the fire department's doing as good as they can. It's not like they're laying down, don't want to do stuff. They're out there all the time. I see it, I hear it all the time. I have a scanner that runs 24/7. And I had an interesting one up north. I thought, what? Anyway, the biggest issue I see is going to be funding. It's tough for a small community to come up with that kind of money. You know, we could probably make some changes within our own district as far as, you know, maybe freezing wages for a year or two to try to build up what we're going to be spending on for the next year, and just kind of cut back on all of our stuff as well, and the city's also. So if there's some sort of negotiation thing that we can do with that, you know, it's better to have a job than not have a job at all because of the expense of it. And that's what worries me more than anything. I mean, I'd love to be able to just throw money at it and let it grow, but we don't have it in this community. There's not enough people here. And most of them are seniors and don't have high incomes.
Anybody else? Anything else? Chief Lieberman, would you like to join us?
Thank you. Mr. Ogren did a great report. I'm available to talk about any of the budget assumptions if you'd like to, but it seems as though your conversation this evening is at a higher level than that. I do want to just share some information with a couple of points that Director Angelo just made about the ambulance and fire response. I'm very familiar with the ambulance contract for this county. The ambulance provider is allowed to charge a rate that the county approves and reviews every 2 years. In exchange for that, the ambulance provider also has to transport every patient regardless of their ability to pay. And that response and that patient assessment, there's no charge for it. They only get to bill the insurance company if there's a transport. So just wanted you to have that nugget of information with you as you make these deliberations. There is a union memorandum of understanding currently negotiated in place regarding the wage portion. I do want to tell you, though, when we were preparing both these budget versions, we did a zero line item review and looked at every single line item. And as you know, a dispatch contract is currently outside of the Five Cities Fire Authority budget. It's billed directly to Oceano and Arroyo Grande. Right. So putting that in our budget, if we didn't put it in our budget this year, we actually had a net decrease in our operating expenditures. Not our people cost, but our line item items that we could actually decrease. And the big ones were I dropped $25,000 in vehicle maintenance because we have a new fire engine. So we did make an earnest attempt to really control our costs. I'm available to answer any specific questions you have, but I think Mr. Ogren did a great job summarizing the meeting that we had today. That was quite productive.
Anything?
These deadlines really concern me, like trying to get some sort of an agreement among the three agencies prospective budget July 1. It just, how the heck does that get done? And the other deadlines, too, that are critical. I don't know how we can keep pace. Can we?
So, again, my response to that would be the board has stated its flexibility to meet as often as possible in special meeting format. Mr. Ogren presented this plan that he shared with you in more detail this evening with some preliminary deadlines. I didn't see any concern by the other two city managers. We understand the gravity of the situation, and we're here to support as best we can, but it's really that moment for those communities to have that honest conversation that I believe has started.
And Director Colwell, that's why I think that this JPA restructuring agreement is important up front, because it's
critical.
A smaller piece of the bite of the apple. You know, it's a realistic bite out of the apple. If we thought that we could have the JPA restructured, renegotiated, or whatever by June 1st, there's no way, right? So we just need to take it one step at a time and work through the issues as they come forward. Keeping this JPA restructuring as a game plan on how we're going to move forward, I think is, that agreement itself would be relatively concise. The biggest issue that we really have to grapple on is how would we distribute assets in the event that at the end of the day, the three agency, if our special tax doesn't pass, right? Then how would we distribute the fire engines, and who would be obligated on future lease payments and everything? So I don't think that is an extraordinary task to address. And the other is it's primarily process related, and one bite out of the apple at a time.
Okay.
And I agree with Chief Lieberman. We understand the gravity of the situation. That's a big motivator.
And maybe it's because I'm here, but it doesn't seem like Grover and AG are really coming forward with information and ideas. It's even difficult sometimes to get responses from them. All they want to say is Oceano's not paying its fair share.
Well, that's a comment that we've heard out of one or two elected officials from one of the other agencies. That's not the type of comment that I'm hearing from city managers or those of us who are trying to really tackle this issue.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think all the three cities are wanting to make this work. It's just a matter of the financing part of it, and, you know, it's going to be tough. And, you know, I kind of feel for the whole thing because it's like, you know, I don't want to have to rely on the county to come out and put fires out again since they can't find half the properties when they get here.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Thank you.
We'll open it up to public comment.
Appreciate
now.
It.
Yeah. Open to public comment.
Good evening. Patrick Ferguson, President, International Association of Firefighters, Local 4403. Thank you, Mr. Ogren, for bringing this forward as an agenda item and for all the work that everybody's putting together. I think that's the emphasis, is all the work that everybody's putting together, whether it's the city manager of Aurora Grandy or Grover Beach, whether it's Fire Chief Lieberman and his administrative staff, whether it's Debbie Mullencote on the admin side, the financial side, everybody's working towards a common goal. As was mentioned earlier, the city of Aurora Grandy voted unanimously, the city of Grover Beach voted unanimously to move forward with the transition to full-time career staffing, identifying that those are key components in their communities for providing a level of service that they wanted to make sure that they were meeting for their cities, for their citizens, for their businesses, and for their visitors. And that's one of the things we're discussing here tonight, is that level of service, our capacity to meet that call volume in your community. Aurora Grandy is addressing that in Aurora Grandy. Grover Beach is addressing that in Grover Beach. But tonight we're addressing that issue here in Oceano, is our capacity to meet the demand of those calls. One of the repetitive call that was discussed by Director Angela, we don't have the capacity not to respond to calls. When the tones go off and when the printer prints out, we need to respond to that call, whether it's the fourth time that day or the first time that day, whether it was lifting somebody up off the ground because they were critically injured or lifting up somebody off the ground because they had nobody else to call. Our capacity to meet that need for that call volume are the things that we're talking about now. As our communities have grown, as they've developed, you know, as the demographic has changed, you know, people aren't living and working in town, as you well know, they're working outside of town and they're commuting and they're traveling. All of those things have a issue with us and our capacity moving forward as we provide a level of service. We're here to work with you, and as we are in Aurora Grandy and Grover Beach, Ms. White, as she represents you on the fire board, they're also working diligently to be creative with the solutions we have moving forward. We've made major steps. You know, we've been able to purchase two fire engines moving forward to make sure that that level, our capacity, training, administrative oversight, all of those things, all those component pieces that allow us to be a successful organization. Thank you for your continued support.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Evening. My name is Jeff Lay, and I'm a reserve engineer with the 5CS Fire Authority. I'm the association president. I started with Oceano as a paid call firefighter here, so I understand the need of the community and also the hardship that it is on all of you to figure out how to fund the community service district as a whole. I believe that the fire department is an essential service that needs to be funded, and how we get there is, this is how we get there, is talking about it and figuring it out together with the other cities. I believe that the 5CS Fire Authority, the three communities, are all committed to this program. The reserve program is on its last leg, and once it is over, if there is not full-time spots for a possible reserve program, like Director Colwell said, around the state, there are programs that have a reserve program that are successful. Part of that is having that step of going from a reserve to a full-time position. Our positions are limited because we are a small department. If we can get some firefighters in their full-time positions, then it'll be a more attractive reserve program possibly down the road that we can move from reserves to full-time, but we got to get that full-time aspect of firefighters in there. Also, I know the fire chief has been meeting so much with different boards and committees trying to get this issue resolved that we don't see him. So I know that he is doing everything that he can. We're doing everything we can on the floor, and I know that all of the boards and communities are doing what they can. So I hope that we can resolve this, keep the FCFA together I believe it's a benefit for all three of the cities, and I hope that we can continue this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to come forward? Okay, moving it back to the board.
So, Madam President, I'm looking for two items of direction that both directly come from the last Five Cities Fire Authority meeting. The first is to, you know, work with Chief Lieberman, the city managers, on this concept of a JPA restructuring agreement. And then the second is to provide notification to the city of Grover Beach that essentially terminates their direct billing to us as of July 1st and has any billing that they would have incurred paid for by Five Cities Fire Authority. That's the way the budget's been developed by Five Cities Fire Authority, and then leaving it between Grover, Five Cities Fire, in the county on determining the precise date of the transition of dispatch services. So those would be the two items that I would request direction on. A motion that would be I so move would be satisfactory as well by a director.
Do you want those separately or together?
No, just the, even something that was, again, as simple as I so move would work for me.
I would so move.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded that we provide specific direction to our administration. And so I'll ask, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Might I beg for a little biology break?
Yes. Okay, let's have a 5-minute break. Or we'll resume at 8:05. Let's make it an 8-minute break. Thank you very much.
I drank too much coffee.
I've not heard it called a biology break before. Yeah.
That's a new one.
Okay. So what would...
to 9C, which is an addition to our agenda, and if I can find it, I'll read it. Sorry, folks. 9C, pursuant to government code, proposal to add consideration upon a determination by... Oh, no, that's not right. We already did that. To require an immediate action and to authorize the general manager to hire a contractor if the remaining water supply pipelines fails, and I'll let Mr. Ogren or Mr. Maraschino report on that.
Yes, President White. Item 9C, which your board added to the agenda earlier, it was based on a water line break that Mr. Maraschino responded to on Saturday after the posting of the agenda. And within your agenda package, there's a system map that illustrates the two single water lines that are currently feeding the island area, and then secondly, that's feeding the beach properties. than an illustration that I just handed out with a red line on it provides a aerial view of the approximate location of the line break, again, between the island and the beach area. And so the pending emergency is what we're talking about, and the need for immediate action by your board is recognizing that those two areas are now both fed by a single line each, and if we were to have a break in either of those single lines, then we would lose service to either the island or the beach area, and the need to make immediate repairs would exist. Now, sometimes the little leaks, or some of the leaks, certainly Tony and the crew are able to get in there and fix relatively quickly, but I don't really want to make that assumption. And so in emergency situations currently, there's not a broad authority for me to act, that if we had an emergency pop up, basically I'd have to convene a special meeting. But now that we know that there's a pending emergency based on this water leak, I am seeking the authorization from your board that if we lose service because a line breaks to either the island or the beach area, that I'd be authorized to bring in a contractor under an emergency basis and help, either get it fixed or help the crews get it fixed. And that's really the simplicity of the request at this point in time. With regard to the bigger issue about how do we propose to fix the break that's in the lagoon, obviously it's an environmentally sensitive habitat, and the full permitting of trying to repair that leak may be extremely difficult. And so we're currently, Tony's already reaching out to contractors on how to put in a new water line, and that would be, there's a couple different construction options, including one where it's just simply horizontally drilling underneath the lagoon, and on the good point there is that the streets are actually lined up in the right direction to do that, and it might even be possible to do all of that work without even stepping on any wetlands. I've outreached already to some environmental specialists. Tony's been doing outreach to the contractors. We are responding to this line break seriously. We will hopefully have some reasonable big picture cost estimates in the month of April. That's a little bit, has uncertainty too. But in any case, we are embarking on what is it going to take to get that line reestablished. But until it does get reestablished, we have this pending emergency if we have a line break in one of those other two single lines that are feeding the island and the beach. And so I'm seeking authorization if that happens to be able to, again, hire contractors under emergency status.
So questions?
So be it. Yeah.
Talking with Tony, it was interesting because I think just putting a whole new line in there rather than fussing around with the one that already broke is probably a great idea, and I think he's up to date on that, and he's going to cover it. So I would make a motion that we so authorize our general manager to make emergency arrangements if it becomes necessary.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Mm-hmm. And moved and seconded. All in favor?
Well, Madam Chair, we still need public comment.
Oh, excuse me. Public comment, but I don't see anybody remaining in the public. Anyway, so want to go again, make a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be interesting to watch. It's going to be interesting to watch this project because of the environmental issue and the and there's no way to reroute it.
No, and so, much of the perspective of the environmental agencies as well as those associated with archaeology is to avoid. And so it might, again, the most cost-effective approach might be horizontal drilling and go underneath everything and avoid, the sensitive habitat. But horizontal drilling was done recently, at least in the last couple of years, by NAPOMO CSD, and drilling a much larger pipe and a much larger distance underneath the Santa Maria River in order to connect to the city of Santa Maria's infrastructure. And that's part of, you know, that contractor we're reaching out to. On the development of the Nacimiento Water Project, horizontal drilling was used as well in order to connect the shaft into Lake Nacimiento. So it's a, there's not a lot of contractors that do it, but it's a well-established methodology.
Would this be, what, an 8-inch line?
Normally we're looking at 8-inch lines.
Yeah, not a 12-inch.
No, yeah, not a 12-inch.
I think, wasn't it 12-inch that went into the Santa Maria River? At least.
At least,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Moving on ahead, I see no hearing items, late received written communication.
Madam President, the only item that I wanted to call your attention to on written communications is the flyer for the groundwater law for the Central Coast, an educational forum sponsored by the County Water Resource Advisory Committee. And that's next Wednesday, April 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. And they have a couple of three notable speakers. So, again, any of the board members who may wish to attend, certainly you are allowed to under the Brown Act. But don't sit in groups of more than two.
He's the third man out.
Looks like it's going to be a good program.
Yeah, I think so. I'm planning on attending.
Anybody, do you want to go?
Yes, I'm planning on it. You want to ride?
I don't know yet. I'll call you.
Let me know.
No, Linda's got to work.
No.
Andrew, you're booked, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
If somebody reminds me, I'll go too.
Future
agenda. I have an issue.
Future agenda items. I guess they're pretty well spelled out. Anything more?
Well, at the next meeting, we are going to have start talking about fireworks, and so. Obviously, Mr. Richards,
yeah,
from the CHP was here in order to do a little bit of early lobbying on behalf of CHP. And,
we have, what, four spots?
It's discretionary to your board. Yeah, the last couple of years there's been four, but I know that in the past there's been more than four.
I don't think they make much money anymore, though.
Yeah. So
could we go on a first? Do we go on a first come? Or?
Well, that'll be the topic of discussion at the next meeting, so
okay.
We don't get ahead of ourselves.
Criteria?
We're not.
Okay. Any other action? Entertain a motion?
I'd like to make a motion. We adjourn.